The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five.
High five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in, then flags any hidden errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see any other healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Hey guys, before we start the show, I think a lot of people may think that we have a huge team over here, but the reality is that we really are just a husband and wife team, and we put the show out for free because we want to make a difference in this country, and we need your support. So if you can, please visit redpilledamerica.com and become a Backstage subscriber. If you can't, because money is tight, we totally understand that, maybe you can sign up for our email list, or you can leave a review on a podcast platform. That would also help very much.
To get on our email list, all you have to do is go to redpilledamerica.com, and the email list is right there on the page. Just sign up and you'll get our updates. Like Adriana said, it's really easy to write reviews on the podcast platform that you're listening to Red Pilled America on.
Also, be sure to support our sponsors. They support the show and they help us keep the lights on.
Now on with the show. Previously on Red Pilled America.
Whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, at least in America, is Hitler.
And that's when the chorus of Jewish organizations piled on.
I stand by my statements.
They were suggesting Candace Owens was an anti-Semite.
I was temporarily blacklisted from Fox News.
A friend strongly suggested that she visit the leaders of one of the Jewish outfits that condemned her, the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
And my reputation was restored, or at least I was allowed to go on pursuing what I wanted to pursue.
I need to ask you about the Kanye issue. So famously, you had a little bit of a tete-a-tete on Twitter.
Maybe I was emotional in my response.
The two appeared to have buried the hatchet.
I would love to join the Daily Wire.
But Candace appeared to have no idea what she was stepping into.
I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing: the truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America. We're at part four of our series of episodes entitled Family Feud. If you haven't heard the previous episodes, stop and go back and listen from the beginning. We're looking for the answer to the question, what can we do to stop the spread of anti-Semitism, by telling the story of the epic conflict between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire. So to pick up where we left off, on election night 2020, Candace Owens was set to join the burgeoning streaming service, The Daily Wire. It was a big move for everyone involved. The Daily Wire was adding a black female conservative, an outsider anti-victimhood champion, to their all-male talent roster. And Candace was moving from the nonprofit space to the exponentially growing private right-wing media industry. She was rightfully excited.
Candace Owens is coming to Nashville, baby!
All right!
But Candace appeared to have no idea what she was stepping into, because the Daily Wire had a very specific agenda that had long been in operation, one that was at odds with everything that she represented. A seasoned eye could see that a future breakup was a near certainty. All one needed to understand was how the Daily Wire was created, and more specifically, the backstory on the partnership of two of its founders, Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Boring.
Jeremy Boring was born in 1979 in a small town in northwest Texas called Slayton. The town was established by German immigrants, and even with a population of roughly 6,300, it had a pretty vibrant entertainment scene. It's nestled just southeast of the hub city of Lubbock, which produced music legend Buddy Holly and Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks. From a young age, Jeremy says he was itching to leave the small town plains of Slayton for bigger pastures, and a chance meeting while in elementary school would eventually provide a pathway out. In first grade, Jeremy met a boy whose father ran the local entertainment scene. Before he'd even reached his teens, that relationship would lead to an opportunity working on light and sound at a local theater. It wasn't long before he caught the showbiz bug. He'd eventually move out to Hollywood with big dreams of becoming an actor. But after a few auditions and being surrounded by others with the same goal, he quickly concluded that he didn't have the required personality to play make-believe. Over the course of the next few years, he took a stab at screenwriting, directing, and film producing. He had some minor successes. He produced a low-budget psychological thriller, but Jeremy was still having trouble breaking through. While trying to get things off the ground in Tinseltown, he led a Bible study. Jeremy is a Protestant and has expressed a belief that God gave the land of Israel to the Jews as an everlasting inheritance. So, it's fair to say that Jeremy Boring is a Christian Zionist, someone that believes that the state of Israel belongs to Jews through biblical prophecy. Around 2008, Jeremy says someone from his Bible study told him about a secret Hollywood conservative group. He spoke candidly about that time on the Ben Shapiro Sunday Special show.
I was also hungry and desperate. I wanted to succeed. I was starting to get resentful of my friends who were succeeding, which is a terrible sign when you can't be happy for your friends. You've got a little bit of a cancer. And I was confused. I didn't know what to do. And another friend of mine who attended the home study at that time, the Bible study, invited me to this secret Hollywood meeting of conservatives called Friends of Abe.
The name Friends of Abe has a bit of a story behind it. In the mid-20th century, homosexual acts were not only taboo in America, they were also illegal. So gays would often identify one another by asking if they were a friend of Dorothy. Dorothy being Judy Garland's character in the Tinseltown classic, The Wizard of Oz. Garland was a gay icon, so using the code phrase Friend of Dorothy was a way for gays to safely find each other. About 50 years later, gays were living openly in Hollywood, but the same could not be said for conservatives. In the early 2000s, sentiments in Tinseltown turned sharply against George W. Bush's War on Terror. As a result, although not officially outlawed like homosexuality in the 1950s, being Republican in Hollywood could quietly land you on a blacklist. So, conservatives found themselves hiding their political inclinations. In essence, by 2004, it was easier to be gay in Tinseltown than a right-winger. A conservative screenwriter named Lionel Chetwynd wanted to do something about it. In a nod to the code phrase, Friend of Dorothy, Lionel teamed up with actor Gary Sinise to start a secret Hollywood group called the Friends of Abe, or FOA, as it came to be known.
I started having lunches with, I met Gary Sinise backstage at a show, and he was doing some wonderful work for Operation Iraqi Children and invented that. And slowly but surely, we became friends, and he began speaking politics with me. And he's a 9/11er. I'd never really considered his politics until 9/11. He and I formed a group, became known as Friends of Abe.
The Abe was a reference to Republican President Abraham Lincoln. In one of the first published stories about the FOA in 2008, Lionel Chetwynd described the impetus for the group to the Washington Times.
A friend of Abe is someone who has reverence for those who serve in our military and believes that American liberal democracy is a unique success, different from others, and it's worthy of the respect of our popular culture, of Hollywood in particular.
The nature of the founders gave the FOA a very specific doctrine. At the time, Gary Sinise was a big supporter of the so-called War on Terror. frequently making public appearances for U.S. troops in the Middle East. As for Lionel Chetwynd, he's Jewish. So, from the outset, there was an unwritten rule that the FOA was a strong supporter of the State of Israel. The secret FOA group Jeremy Boring's friend described sounded exciting to him. At the time, he was a struggling Hollywood filmmaker that felt a bit lost. He was yearning for community. His Bible study friend said the group talked about politics in the same way as Jeremy. Maybe it was time to dump the culture path and search for a new way forward. So Jeremy decided to give the group a try.
And I met all these underground Hollywood conservatives. And this was getting close to 2008, and I just realized, like, I could have a voice in things that were important to me in politics that I couldn't have if I kept pursuing culture. At that first meeting, Andrew Breitbart was there.
The late conservative publisher of Breitbart.com.
Bill Whittle was there. Our buddy Johnny Voigt was there. So a lot of people who became sort of the second half of my Hollywood life, the people who were very important to me.
For a few years, Jeremy was just a regular member of the Friends of Abe. But then around 2011, the FOA approached him with an opportunity.
They came to me and asked me if I would take it over and run it. The founder wanted to step away. He was doing some very important philanthropy at the time that he wanted to focus his attention on.
Jeremy said yes. He became its executive director. The kid from Slayton, Texas, was about to start on an entirely new path, one that focused on politics instead of culture. About a year before he took the lead at the FOA, Jeremy met a young lawyer and author named Ben Shapiro. At the time they met in 2010, Ben was trying to figure things out himself. With a law degree from Harvard, he'd left a high-paying law firm to try and make it in either Hollywood or the media. He explained those early days to the Iced Coffee Hour.
I speak fast, I type fast, I write fast, I edit quickly. That is not what you want as a lawyer who is billing hours. When you bill hours, they bill you by the hour, so it disincentivizes efficiency. So I decided I couldn't take it, and after about 10 months, I turned to my wife, and she turned to me, and she's like, "You're miserable, you should just quit." And this is right before we were about to get married. And I was like, "Well, we just got a condo, we just got a mortgage, and we're about to get married." And she's like, "Yeah, but you're miserable, you should quit."
It was around that time that a friend connected Ben with a job.
And I talked to my friend Andrew Breitbart, who I'd known since I was 16 years old and I was at UCLA.
If you haven't figured it out yet, Andrew Breitbart was everywhere in conservative circles. He was, without a doubt, the shepherd of conservative new media. Andrew was the connector and the glue that held the movement together. In 2007, he came up with the idea for the Breitbart News Network while in Jerusalem with his childhood best friend, Larry Solove. Larry would later say that, on the night they conceived the company, the one thing Andrew and him specifically discussed was, quote,
"Our desire to start a site that would be unapologetically pro-freedom and pro-Israel."
Andrew fit right in with the FOA and would become a driving force behind membership. In fact, he brought your humble co-host into the FOA in August 2009. There would have been no Friends of Abe without Andrew Breitbart, a fact no one could deny after his passing. This is all to say that when Andrew approached Ben Shapiro in 2009 about an opportunity, Ben listened.
And Andrew says, "You know, there's this guy named Mark Masters. He runs a company called Talk Radio Network, and he may be looking for an in-house counsel. So why don't you go talk to him?"
Talk Radio Network was a radio syndicator for conservative personalities like Laura Ingraham and Michael Savage. Ben had already been publishing for the better part of a decade. He'd written for the Daily Bruin as a 16-year-old undergrad at UCLA. He secured a nationally syndicated column by the age of 17, and by 2009, he'd already had a few books under his belt. He was the Doogie Howser of conservative media. So, radio looked like a good option to him.
So I talked to Mark, and I end up getting a job for one-third the pay, doing some in-house counsel work.
I wanted to learn the radio industry because I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh and in L.A., Larry Elder. And so I made a deal with the company. And the deal with the company that I was working for was I would spend half of my day doing legal work because they needed an associate in-house counsel. And I would spend half of my day doing production work. I wanted to learn inside out how the industry worked. So I would sit there and I would cut the audio clips, like with the actual sound program. Probably half the clips that you heard on Michael Savage's or Laura Ingraham's show between the years like 2009 to 2012, I cut those.
On the side, Ben was also contributing to Andrew Breitbart's website, Big Hollywood. And it was again through Andrew that Ben would meet the man that would make him famous.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger King. Yippee, would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. When I first heard about it, I thought, it's about time. This makes sense. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in for savings. Let's say you, your spouse, or kids see the doctor or other medical provider. When your claims come in, HealthLock automatically reviews them and flags any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud, so you pay only what you owe. This is your money you're saving. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped members save more than $130 million. I get it, medical billing errors can happen, but you should be able to pay with confidence. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Mother's Day is around the corner. What are you going to do for your mom? Are you going to get her flowers? It's a nice gesture, but so short-lived. Jewelry? Not in this economy. Why not give mom the gift that keeps on giving? A Red Pilled America backstage subscription. She'll get ad-free access to our entire archive of episodes. That's over 185 shows. And our behind-the-scenes video podcast. Go to redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu. For a limited time, we're offering 25% off an 8mg RPA full access yearly gift certificate. Give the moms in your life a gift that will entertain them, feed their soul, and may even teach them a thing or two. Visit redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu to receive 25% off our RPA full access membership. That's redpilledamerica.com. Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So around 2009, Ben Shapiro went to work for radio syndication outfit Talk Radio Network. On the side, he contributed to Andrew Breitbart's website Big Hollywood. Big Hollywood was Andrew's shot across the bow of Movie City, a place where conservatives could trash politically correct celebrities, pontificate on films and TV shows, and try to build a community for creative types on the right. I was a contributor for Big Hollywood. Our debut investigation was their first big nationally covered story and helped put the site on the map. Like with us, Andrew would often funnel contributors into the secret Tinseltown conservative group FOA. Ben Shapiro was one of those people. It wasn't long before Andrew would connect Jeremy with Ben in a roundabout way. Jeremy would later explain the connection on the Ben Shapiro Sunday Special show.
Andrew Breitbart came to me and said, "Hey, I've got this guy you should know named Mark Masters. He runs, at that time, I think the largest private talk radio syndication company in the country up in Oregon. And he has film aspirations. And he said, I think it'd be good if he heard your perspective." And so, you know, I had a couple meetings with Mark.
Mark would eventually have his in-house legal counsel, Ben Shapiro, meet with Jeremy. And Jeremy spent much of their conversation trying to convince Ben not to waste his boss's money going into the movie business. Jeremy says he thought Ben was the smartest guy he'd ever met. Ben also saw something in Jeremy.
Well, I saw a talented guy, and I saw that the talent, you're kind of spinning your wheels. And so it was like I wanted to make sure, as behind the scenes I've quoted many times, for me, a key principle is Hyman Roth. I always make money for my friends. And so, quoting the elderly Jewish gangster from The Godfather, who ends up very poorly.
The two became fast friends, and they tried to figure out ways to work together. Their dynamic went something like this. Since Jeremy had been involved with Hollywood for a while, trying to be an actor, then screenwriter and director, Jeremy would be the talent.
Ben, with his law degree and executive position now at the Radio Syndicator, would run the business side of their endeavors. The two worked on a few projects, but nothing became a full-time gig. So they moved on, working separately on projects until something hit that could bring them together. In Ben's case, after shopping around a script to a few Hollywood executives in 2011, Ben published Primetime Propaganda, a book about how the left took over Hollywood. And to launch the book, he came up with an interesting approach to marketing.
I know there's truth that it is a more left-leaning industry. Mm-hmm. And there are people in the industry who believe that they are not getting work because of their politics.
Yeah.
In researching the book, Ben posed as a liberal and secured meetings with high-level Hollywood executives to talk about the industry. He recorded their discussions, and during their talks, the executives made some revealing confessions.
There is an assumption within this town that everybody is on the left side of the spectrum, and the few people on the right side, I think people look at them somewhat aghast.
That is one of the criticisms that you hear a lot from cultural right-wingers, that Hollywood is too left, there's too much sexual content, there's one side of the agenda being pushed on a lot of shows.
There's no question about that.
So what's your response to the criticism of people at the moral majority and these kind of groups when they say television's too liberal, it's too progressive, and
idiots talking?
The promotion was a huge success, racking up hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, thanks to posts by Andrew Breitbart on Big Hollywood. Ben obviously learned that, to launch a project successfully, he needed to create something that the media could weaponize against its opponent. In this case, conservative media was using it to pummel Hollywood. In the wake of his book launch, Ben took a radio gig as a morning co-host on KRLA AM in Los Angeles. Then tragedy struck.
Conservative commentator and activist Andrew Breitbart died early this morning in Los Angeles. According to his website, Breitbart died unexpectedly from natural causes at UCLA Medical Center.
The man that brought Jeremy and Ben together, in essence their mentor, was gone. After the untimely passing of Andrew Breitbart, Ben became editor-at-large for Breitbart News. Ben was rising. By 2013, a good 3 years after they'd met, Jeremy came up with a way for the two to work together, and it was sparked by a CNN appearance.
My next guest has strong words for me. He says, "I'm off the rails on guns in America." Ben Shapiro is editor-at-large at Breitbart.com.
In December 2012, a deranged man entered Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and killed 26 people, including 20 kids between the ages of 6 and 7. It was a horrific event. Almost immediately, gun control advocates pushed for a ban of so-called assault rifles, like the AR-15 used by the killer. Pierce Morgan was one of the journalists calling for the ban. Ben scheduled an appearance on Pierce Morgan's show, and before he went on, he spoke with Jeremy about what he wanted to do.
Jeremy, I remember I talked to him beforehand, and I told him what I was going to do during the interview, and we had discussed, and we had strategized, and that kind of stuff. Up until that point, basically the assumption was I was the business guy, and he was going to be the talent, because he'd always wanted to be a director, and he came to LA to be an actor, and he'd been in writer's rooms and all of that. And I was I went to Harvard Law School, I'd been the executive vice president of Talk Radio Network, all of this kind of stuff. In 2013, I do the interview with Piers Morgan on CNN about gun control.
Why am I off the rails, Mr. Shapiro?
Honestly, Pierce, you've kind of been a bully on this issue, because what you do, and I've seen it repeatedly on your show, I watch your show, and I've seen it repeatedly, what you tend to do is you tend to demonize people who differ from you politically by standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook, saying they don't seem to care enough about the dead kids. If they cared more about the dead kids, they would agree with you on policy. I think we can have a rational political conversation about balancing rights and risks and rewards of all of these different policies. But I don't think that what we need to do is demonize people on the other side as being unfeeling about what happened in Sandy Hook.
How dare you accuse me of standing on the graves of the children that died there? How dare you?
I've seen you do it repeatedly, Pierce.
Like I say, how dare you?
Well, I mean, you can keep saying that, but you've done it repeatedly. What you do, and I've seen you do it on the program, is you keep saying to folks that if they disagree with you politically, then somehow this is a violation of what happened in Sandy Hook. And you have yet, I'd really like to hear your policy prescriptions for what we should do about guns.
Pierce explained that many of the psychos in mass shootings used assault weapons. He argued that they should be banned, but every attempt had been thwarted by right-wingers, who used the old-fashioned argument of government tyranny to block so-called common-sense gun control.
Fundamentally, the right believes that the basis for the Second Amendment is not really about self-defense and it's not about hunting. It is about resistance to government tyranny. That's what the founders said, and that's what the right believes in this country.
Which tyranny are you fearing yourself?
I fear the possibility of a tyranny rising in this country in the next 50 to 100 years. Let me tell you something, Pierce. The fact that my grandparents and great-grandparents in Europe didn't fear that is why they are now ashes in Europe.
Ben Shapiro critics often claim that he's a lightweight in debates because he only faces college students. But that assessment completely memory holes how Ben first entered the national spotlight. In early 2013, at just 29 years old, Ben Shapiro absolutely eviscerated the nearly 50-year-old Pierce Morgan. And he did it with a premeditated attack.
I talked to him beforehand, and I told him what I was going to do during the interview, and we had discussed and we had strategized.
The fact that my grandparents and great-grandparents in Europe didn't fear that is why they are now ashes in Europe.
The clip went viral.
And it goes absolutely berserk on the internet. I mean, it was like the biggest thing on the internet for a solid month.
The public response gave Jeremy Boring an epiphany.
And after the interview, he called me up, and he said, "We have this completely backwards. I'm the business guy, and you're the talent."
Jeremy would later reflect on this revelation.
At that time, I was also realizing something about you, which was that you needed to be famous and that you needed a platform from which to influence the political conversation. And I thought that I had discovered it because, again, by way of Andrew Breitbart and some of our Friends of Abe connections, I'd become pals with a lot of the board members at the David Horowitz Freedom Center.
The David Horowitz Freedom Center is a neocon pro-Israel foundation. Its co-founder, David Horowitz, is a conservative. Like Ben Shapiro, he was a Los Angeles writer, Jewish, and was interested in the culture. But unlike Ben, he was a half century older. Jeremy thought that Ben was the perfect person to take over the Freedom Center's legacy once his co-founder retired. So with the help of Andrew Breitbart and some of the FOA board members, Jeremy started planting seeds that Ben could be the heir apparent of the Freedom Center's legacy. Eventually, David Horowitz adopted the idea as his own. In 2013, Jeremy Boring and Ben Shapiro were greenlit to create a project under the Freedom Center umbrella. They called it Truth Revolt. The project was meant to be the answer to Media Matters, the nonprofit media organization dedicated to destroying conservatives. Truth Revolt's stated goal was to, quote, unmask leftists in the media for who they are, destroy their credibility with the American public, and devastate their funding bases. But below the surface, its primary mission was to counter an anti-Israel slant seeping into the mainstream media, and it did so by attacking Islam.
So, let's examine the question. Is radicalism in the Muslim world a tiny minority phenomenon?
Jeremy produced the videos for Truth Revolt, with Ben as the on-camera talent.
Palestinian areas, right? We're sending literally hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinian areas. We are, the American taxpayers. 4.3 million Muslims live in the Palestinian areas. 78% of those had positive or mixed feelings about bin Laden. 89% support terror attacks on our ally, Israel. 89% support Sharia law. We should give them a state, folks.
Ben would argue that over half of the Muslims in the world, 800 million, were radicalized.
That's not a minority, that's now a majority, and that's still not even surveying hundreds of millions of Muslims in other countries. In other words, the myth of the tiny radical Muslim minority is just that. It's a myth. And, unfortunately, it's a myth that's going to get a lot of civilized people killed.
It was clear that the mission of Truth Revolt was more than just to attack the left. The project drudged along for about 2 years, but they kept running into two problems. First, funding. Since it was a nonprofit, they had to continually come up with reasons for donors to donate. And the second was web traffic. Up to 2015, most conservative media outlets had a single business model for driving traffic to their sites. They'd hope for a link on the Drudge Report. The notoriously recluse online publisher, Matt Drudge, controlled the most trafficked conservative outlet in America. One link to your story from the Drudge Report could drive so much traffic to your site that it could crash your servers. That was the power of a Drudge link. Andrew Breitbart used to be an editor on the site, and so he'd frequently send traffic to new media journalists within his camp. But with Andrew now gone, the conservative media business model was on shaky ground. Jeremy was looking for a solution, and he thought he'd come up with one. Facebook was a largely untapped site for conservative advertising. He believed that if he could get the Freedom Center to agree to fund some advertising, he could turn that advertising into traffic and ultimately revenue. So in 2015, Jeremy brought Ben in to pitch the idea to the board of the David Horowitz Freedom Center.
Jeremy explains the deal. They do not understand it at all. They turn to me. We've been doing this for like an hour and a half. The board turns to me and they're like, "Can you explain this?" more simply, try to boil it down. And at this point, I was really frustrated and pissed. And I take out a napkin and a pen, and I say, here is our business plan. Dollar sign, arrow, Facebook, arrow, website, arrow back to dollar sign. This is our business plan. I literally did that on a napkin. I turned it around. We're going to spend money on Facebook. Facebook is going to generate traffic for our website. We're going to monetize that through advertising and subscriptions back to Facebook. That's how we're going to generate our business. They fired Jeremy the next day. And in solidarity, they wanted to keep me on as sort of like a face for the website. And I quit. I was like, you can't fire my friend, my business partner, and I'm not going to stick around for that. So now we're both jobless.
The two were in a bind. They'd both recently taken on new mortgages, and now they were jobless. Ben and Jeremy had to find a way out. And they had to find it quickly.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. When I first heard about it, I thought, it's about time. This makes sense. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in for savings. Let's say you, your spouse, or kids see the doctor or other medical provider. When your claims come in, HealthLock automatically reviews them and flags any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud, so you pay only what you owe. This is your money you're saving. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped members save more than $130 million. I get it, medical billing errors can happen, but you should be able to pay with confidence. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
You want to hear Red-Pilled America ad-free? Become a Backstage subscriber. Just go to redpilledamerica.com and click join in the top menu. And if you ever wanted to hear yourself on Red Pilled America, here's your chance. We're wondering, what's your favorite episode? Email us a short voice memo with your favorite story, along with why, and you may hear yourself on the show. Email your voice memo to info@redpilledamerica.com. That's info@redpilledamerica.com. Can't wait to hear which ones you pick, like this one from Robbie Jenkins.
My favorite episodes were the Nixon episodes, simply because you guys brought to light an angle I never really considered, and that was the hatred of Hollywood of Nixon that began the downfall. And I found that to be intriguing and just information I never really heard or considered. Thanks, guys. I really, really enjoy your program.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So after making a funding pitch to the board of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Jeremy Boring was fired. In solidarity, Ben Shapiro quit the Truth Revolt. Now the two were in a bind. They'd recently both signed new mortgages, and now they were jobless. They could have separated and tried to find jobs, but they felt like they were onto something. They obviously knew how to run a website. Together, they'd managed Truth Revolt, and for the 3 years prior, Ben was an editor at Breitbart News. Ben also knew how to draw attention, and they had this idea to monetize traffic to their site via Facebook. They'd funnel funds into Facebook ads, which would drive traffic to their site. They'd then use the traffic to sell ads and subscriptions to their site. Then they could again funnel some of that revenue into buying more ads on Facebook, and they could continue that cycle over and over again. But the only problem was that they didn't have the money to start the cycle. What to do? Well, the two decided to try and find an investor. It just so happened that Jeremy was talking to a guy named Caleb Robinson. Caleb was looking to get his client into the film business, and he turned to Jeremy for some advice. Like earlier with Ben's radio syndication employer, Jeremy tried to convince Caleb to save his client's money by avoiding the movie industry. In the process of their discussion, Caleb and Jeremy hit it off. So when he'd gotten fired from the Freedom Center, Jeremy thought Caleb would be the perfect person to talk to. Because you see, there was something about Caleb's clients that worked well for Jeremy and Ben's project. The family office that Caleb was working with was the Wilkes Brothers. That name might ring a bell. The Wilkes Brothers were the fracking billionaires that helped fund PragerU, as well as Ted Cruz's 2016 presidential bid. And what were these Wilkes Brothers about? The Wilkes Brothers founded their own church in 1982, called the Assembly of Yahweh, which is kind of a hybrid between Judaism and Christianity. Essentially, the Assembly of Yahweh teaches that the true religion is Jewish, not Gentile, and it has a strong adherence to Jewish laws and customs found in the Torah. For example, they observe a Jewish type of Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sundown. They have similar dietary laws as Judaism, such as kosher practices. And, instead of celebrating New Testament holidays, they observe the more Jewish ones like Passover and Yom Kippur. For all intents and purposes, they are as close to Judaism as Christians can get. So the Wilkes Brothers were the perfect billionaires to receive their pitch. Jeremy turned to Caleb and pitched him the same concept that had just gotten him fired. According to Jeremy, Caleb loved the idea. So Ben, Jeremy, and Caleb created a three-way partnership, drew up a business plan, and took it to Caleb's high-net-worth clients, the Wilkes Brothers.
And we're talking with this family, and this guy at the end of the table turns to me after I've been going for a while, and he says to me, "We get a lot of pitches on media companies just like this one. What makes you think you're so special?" Again, I got kind of pissed, and I was like, "I'm better at this than anyone on the planet. I'm better at this than anyone. Everyone who's pitched you is worse at this than I am." And for a second, there was like dead silence in the room, and then everybody started laughing, and they put the money into the company.
The family office would eventually invest roughly $5 million. The Daily Wire was born. Among its owners were Jeremy Boring, Ben Shapiro, Caleb Robinson, and the Wilkes Brothers. Jeremy Boring has made claims about the religious slant of the Daily Wire.
The Wilkes Brothers aren't Jewish. The Daily Wire isn't owned by Jews. Ben doesn't run the Daily Wire. He's not the majority owner of the Daily Wire. The Daily Wire is majority owned and run by Christians.
Which is true, but it's not the entire story, because the men at the head of the Daily Wire have very strong beliefs about Israel, which no doubt would impact their future decisions. Now with the backing of billionaires, the Daily Wire team began working on their new startup. And like any startup, they had to come up with a plan to get some attention. Through publishing his primetime propaganda book, Ben learned that to launch a project successfully, he needed to create something that the media could weaponize against its opponent. So, the Daily Wire began searching for the right opportunity. They would eventually land on throwing their mentor under the bus. And the story behind that maneuver should have been a red flag to Candace Owens.
Coming up on Red Pilled America.
The fact is that Breitbart has unfortunately become a Trump Pravda site.
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's owned and produced by Patrick Harelci and me, Adriana Cortez, for Informed Ventures. Now you can get ad-free access to our entire catalog of episodes by becoming a Backstage subscriber. To subscribe, just visit redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today, we're all looking for ways to save. That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and monitors your medical claims as they come in, then flags any hidden errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see any other healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.